And in our exercise of late, we, in the Spirit of God's ministry, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, our God, is an awesome person. And you cannot enjoy and exercise the benefits of God being God and the only Savior. You can't have the benefits without the Spirit of God's ministry. He brings to reality all that Christ has made possible on Calvary's cross. Without him, all we have is Christ dying and giving a huge amount of benefit, to say the least. But it can't go anywhere. Can't go anywhere. Can't go anywhere without him. Absolutely, he's indispensable. So therefore, we have spent time looking at turning the pages. He's everywhere. And so here, in try to sum it up, in John chapter 7, we have some key information that puts it all together. So when we share together, and we have done that in verse 37, as you know, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man, they may or may not, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But, this, verse 39, spake he, all that we just read, the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to have a relationship to him. But, verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. In other words, they were believing, but Pentecost hadn't come on him. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet crucified. So we did that over and over, as we know. So, and we looked at the ingredients. You have to do what? You have to go in verse 37. You need to come. If we don't come unto the Lord, if any man thirst, I should do that, just to remind you, you have to be thirsty. That's why people get saved. They realize they hear the gospel, or they don't hear the gospel, and they know that they don't have a simple, saving, safe relationship to God. They just know that. We have everything, but as far as God goes, and eternity, we don't have that. So therefore, I'm looking conscious of being saved. Believers that are saved need to thank God they get saved. And the believer can say, "Thank you, God, for saving me." But the benefits of being saved, I have to want them. I have to want them. It's enough to be a member of the family. It's another thing to enjoy the benefits of the family. A whole nother ballgame. So you have to thirst. And if you don't thirst, you don't drink. That's all there is to it. Obviously, here's the water, as you know. Here's the water. We don't drink. Here it is. The reality of it's right here. But if I don't thirst, I no drink. I just don't drink. So, having said that, we have to thirst, and we shared looked at that word, thirst. And the psalmist, the believers, that's what they did. I thirst after righteousness. Thirst, as thou deer panteth after the water brook, so my heart thirsteth for thee. Get a drink, to want it. And you have to want that. You have to say, "I'm saved, that's enough." No, that's just just the doorstep, just that, just coming out of the womb. You haven't gone anywhere yet. And people are content with that because the system says it's all right. The system we live in says it's quite comfortable. Just believe, whatever, be done. And no, it isn't. That's just the beginning. So therefore to thirst. And when you're thirsting, you need to go and come where the water is. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You've got to come. I am the door. No one gets to the pasture, John 10:9, unless you go through the door. You don't go through the door, you don't find the green pasture. Just ain't going to happen. So I have to understand, God, I got to come. Come unto me. I have to thirst and come to get the water. I can't just forget it. No, I have to come to you, God. Seek me. You said to seek us. You sent for us to seek you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And when we seek you with all our heart, we'll find you. We'll find you. But how about half a heart, a quarter of a heart, three quarters of a heart? No, you won't happen. I'm sincere. Sincerity doesn't make it happen. Sincerity doesn't do it. You have to believe and receive our Lord Jesus Christ and all the benefits. So we have to go and thirst, and we need to come. And when we come to God and look to God, what are we going to do? We're going to go, come, and then to come and drink. And so we need to drink. We need to actually take it. If we don't take it, it isn't going to happen. So I got to drink the water, or my thirst is not answered. I've got to drink it, and therefore I have to go and get that water down inside of me. And that water mixes with everything and does what it does. 70% of your heart, 70%, I guess, of your body is water. Like 70% of the earth, interestingly enough, is water. So, and having said that, and keeping that in mind, so I got to go and drink. I got to drink. And if I don't drink, I don't have it. There's no way. I have to go and drink. And you'll pick that up again in the morning, if the Lord tarries and we live to drink. So when we drink, what are we going to do? When we drink, what do you mean drink? You have to believe. You have to believe. Believe. You have to actually, I believe in the pew, like we said it 1,000 times. I believe the pew can hold me, etc. Now I'm sitting in the pew. And when you tell me you believe in the pew, I don't have any question, because you're sitting in it. If you're standing up outside and tell me you believe in the pew, I don't know that at all. I don't know that you believe in the pew. You can say you believe, but I don't know that, because you're not sitting in the pew. And when you're sitting in the pew, it's proof that you believe. Think of what we're doing in the study of 1 John. That's what God said. Put some proof, put some reality to it. Otherwise, you don't have it. You talk about believing and everything else and like that, and none of it's for real. You got to be there. So we got to thirst and come. We got to come unto God thirsting, and we got to come and drink, and we have to believe. We have to believe. It's the way it is. And the Spirit of God's, and when you believe, you have, chapter 7, verse 39, you have all the benefits. At the end of verse 38, I should say, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And we shed all of that, as we did that, to drink living waters. And we reminded ourselves of God's continuous, eternal revelation of living waters in the millennium. Out from the temple comes a river, a new river. It starts out just like from the faucet, It starts out from under the temple, and by the time it goes 15 miles to the Jordan, to the Red Sea, to the Dead Sea, it's a huge. It's called, God said, I'm doing this to help you understand, and the trees and everything. I want you to understand the water of life, living waters. I am the living water. If you drink, think of John 6:35. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. If you eat and drink, you'll never hunger. You'll never thirst. Never thirst. You're never thirsty. No, I'm not thirsty, because I'm trusting God. That's the idea. I'm not hunting for God. I'm not having a problem, because I'm resting in God. His wonderful presence. That's what we're doing. Resting in his awesome, wonderful presence. Now, and so the rivers of living water are going to come. And God's going to do that. And you'll never thirst. You'll never thirst. And you know from everything else that God says, tells you what? I shall supply all your need. I am your need. I am, said God. I am everything to you. I am your life. That's why you can't do without the Spirit of God. Because God said, when you receive me, you received a unique relationship to me. I am your life. I, person, am your life. I am your life now. When you receive me, you lack nothing. You lack nothing. Not that I don't have a tissue, I have all these different things. No, I don't need any of that. I have it without ever holding it. And God said, you know, all these. Exodus 3 and 14. Moses said, what shall I tell the people? Your name is. You tell the people, I am who I am. I am who I am. And I will be to you everything. And remember, we did all this stuff. And here's the thing. Think of mathematics. And here's your line. And here's underneath is God. And up and up. And God said, I am going to be everything you need. I am going to be it. Everything you need, I will be it. You tell me what it is. I am to you. I am who I am. When you, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am everything you'll ever need. I am. We sing the hymns. God, all you need. What are you doing, God? What do you mean I have everything all I need? I need this, I need that. Sure you do. But that's in your physical body, earthly. You will now become have a unique, wonderful relationship to God, and you need to understand it and exercise it in the light of your humanity, in your light of your earthliness. So, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if we can, so now putting them all again a little bit together, and God's going to do all of that. So God, what have we got? We got living waters, and the living waters, if you're in John still, why not? John chapter 6. John in chapter 6. And you will know it. We're living waters. Hang on to the word living. And you go to John 6. And if I can, in verse 63. Lord Jesus, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Your old nature is zero. You can't contribute to it. You can't add to it. You can't make it happen. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, God's, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and life, and they are life. They're living like seeds, full, pregnant with life, able to grow into great plants and God. So God, here we are looking, and you're able to go and do wonderful things. And the living water and living words, you're giving us your word so that we can understand. We don't have to guess at this. We don't have to dream about it. And we don't have 85 different ways to see it. God has given it simply in the pages in front of you, if you can read, in simple English. And that's way more accurate than we need. And you just read it. It'll be like saying, here's a $10 check I'm going to give you, a gift coupon. I'm going to give you a gift coupon to $10 for all four of you at McDonald's. Don't eat too much. Got it? Okay. See, it has to have value to it. You need to cash it. So God, what are you going to do? You're going to go and you give us wonderful words and wonderful truth that we're to go. And so therefore, we're to look to your word, to outwork your word in an awesome way. So therefore, go over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 4, and you'll recall, and in chapter 4, God has made it possible for us to have all the benefits. So, putting this ahead first, chapter 4, verse 12. You know it, just put it together again, afresh in your mind. For the perfecting, the making ready. Think of what we're doing in Joshua 6 and Joshua chapter 5. Israel was fully ready for God to take him to battle, fully ready. Now come into the New Testament, as we shared, chapter 4 and verse 12, the word perfecting, fully ready, fully ready. The church is to make you fully ready for all the benefits, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the service, ministry. And what's what we're going to do is we exercise and functioning properly and letting God exercise his life in us and for us. It's going to do what? It's going to edify the body, and the body, liver, spleen, pancreas, each thing you got. And they are all wonderful 12 systems. They all work together marvelously. Right now, that's what they're doing in your body. And you don't even know it. That's what they're doing. And they're doing zillions of things in a second. Cells are dying by the thousands, living by the thousands. You know, all of it's happening harmoniously. And the liver can never be the lungs. The lungs can never be the pancreas. Everything has to be what it is in the body. And the body functions. So, the church, here we are, believers, placed in the body of Christ by the Spirit of God, and therefore, what are we doing? We're sitting here. What are we sitting here for? Well, as we shared last time, it's not a social club. It's not meant. It isn't a golf club or something. It isn't that. It's where believers are supposed to come together and let God do his wonderful work in us. That's what God's going to do. They say God's going to do it another way. No, there is no other way. Turn the pages. You won't find another way. So when the church goes down a tube, everything goes with it. That doesn't mean a believer can't live for God out in the desert. Absolutely. God will make up the difference. But when it's there and we don't use it and don't do it right, we lose it. So, for the perfecting of the saints, etc., and the purpose, verse 13, till we all come in the unity, oneness of the faith, the body of truth to be believed. That's why we're reading the Bible, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, full, complete man, person, unto the measure, how much of the stature, how much are we supposed to grow? a stature of the fullness of Christ. And what are we doing in 1 John chapter 2, chapter 3? What do we got? Beloved, what strange love is it that you should be called children of God, and that you're what? Looking to become like him. That's what you're doing. This is going to be changed to be like his. That's what we're doing. So God, what are we doing? What are we sitting here for? We're looking to sit in the presence of God who saved us, doing a wonderful work to save us and give us all the benefits in order that we might be a witness to him, Acts 1:8. And in the process, we're going to be enjoying him as we grow and know to be like him. And therefore, sliding down to verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up, not just grow, but grow up. You can be 70 years older, whatever, 70, and never have grown up. There are many adults that have never grown up. They just never grow up. That doesn't mean they aren't the age they are. They just didn't grow up. So God, what are we on? You don't want us to just grow. You want us to grow up, to become like him. Changed in the twinkling of an eye, ultimately. Now, so therefore, God wants us to grow and to know and to grow up. So, sliding over if I can now, having to grow up. Now, what do we have that we're supposed to be enjoying, thirsting, drinking, thirsting, growing? What are we supposed to be absorbing in our system? We're supposed to be what? We have a new relationship to God. Think of all the news. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature, new. Walk in new, Romans 6:3. Walk in newness of life. New. Everything's new. Old things have passed away. Everything's become, that's as far as God's concerned. He crucified it, he's ended. You have a relationship to God. You're to enjoy it without letting your old nature rob you with all the thoughts and all the worries and all the fears and our plain, dumb ignorance that we're content being stupid about the whole thing because we never understood it. And that's the way the system is. Now, so therefore looking at that a little differently so you see it, in the light of Ephesians. Over to Ephesians chapter 1, and you'll notice Ephesians in chapter 1, picking up, please, going directly to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where are we going to find them? In heavenly places. How can we possibly enjoy heavenly things in Christ? That's how you can enjoy them. He's God. You can enjoy the heavenly things because he is heaven. He is heaven. He is person. Yep. So when God, you did that. Yep. When you got saved. When you get saved, in verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who has so blessed us, heavenly places. Now keep that in mind, sliding over chapter 1 and in verse 20. Chapter 1 and verse 20. I'll read verse 19 to introduce it. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us would? Who believe, we've got to be believing, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, that's where it's found, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So here's the perfect humanity of Christ seated on the throne of God, heavenly. He's there. Everything's going to come from the throne, from him who is already seated. He's risen again. He died for us. He buried our sins in a hole, and he isn't going to dig them up. He rose again to give us his life, and he's seated at the right hand of God to have all the benefits of God's holy, heavenly, happy heaven. To have the benefits. That's what we have. Now, having said that, chapter 2, verse 6, and therefore, you say, well, what do you mean heavenly? Boy, it's something else. We have heavenly benefits seated in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 6, and God hath raised us up to sit together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we're there. Now there. So what are you trying to tell us, God? I'm trying to tell you, you have a new relationship to me. And I am your everything. And you have to understand, you have the earthly. That's your old nature. And here's heaven over the sky and the rain and the showers. And we're under the sun. And we're earthly. But I have brought into your heart, when you receive me, all the benefits of heaven. And God is your heaven. I brought them all into your heart. I brought them all. In Christ, you lack nothing. Therefore, in verse chapter 3, and chapter 3, verse 10, the world, as they see it, what are they going to see in their wonderful way? They're going to see, chapter 3, verse 10, to the intent, to the purpose, that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God. You're able to go and what? To make all of heaven understand what? Your saving grace, your gospel message, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou be saved. And all of heaven is going to what? They pay attention to you because you carry God. You carry a unique, wonderful relationship to heaven that us angels lost when we sinned. But you have it. You have that benefit right now before God. That's awesome. And they look and they got to learn about God's heavenly person in your little old life. That's you're just nobody, but you are somebody. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so when that chapter 6, tie it together, chapter 6, and in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So God, what are we doing? Well, we're a witness to the heavenly powers, principalities and powers. And the enemy is there. And the enemy, that's what you're doing. You're showing the enemy. What are you showing the enemy? Christ died on the cross and paid the price. And therefore, when he paid the price, Colossians and all of that, what did he do? He gave the sentence of death. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. And that has been sentenced. It's done. It's done. It's finished. So therefore, in these heavenly, so in Ephesians, we're supposed to be enjoying a wonderful heavenly life. Go over what I think of it, Colossians, right next door, a couple of doors down, and Colossians in chapter 3. And you'll notice, as you turn the letters, what are you going to find? The same message over and over. It isn't about the world. It isn't about evangelism. No, it's about the believer having a wonderful life, and they need to have the life before they can be a light to the world. So, got to have the life. So Colossians, here's a sample. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, as you know. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And what are we doing? We're supposed to be heavenly people having an earthly existence, bearing witness to God's heaven's saving grace. So, having said that, now, that's the Ephesians. Do believers all, that's what they're supposed to do. That's why Ephesians is at the top in Revelation chapter 2. They're supposed to be enjoying heaven, but our old nature and the flesh louses us up. So now, go over to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, if I may, and picking up, if I can, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. This is to the church in southern Greece, Corinth. Unto the church of God belongs to God, which is located where? In the city of Corinth. To them that are sanctified, that's the believers that are there. How are they sanctified and set apart? In Christ Jesus, who called them to be saints, set apart ones, sinners that have become saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And as you read down, it's a wonderful little section telling us the wonderful benefits they have. I'll read it a little bit. Verse 5. That in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So you have all the benefits of Ephesians, all the benefits we looked at, but you aren't enjoying them. Sliding over to verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things. Same, not 10 different messages. That speak the same things. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly, fully, completely joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For, verse 11, it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. In other words, as you're going to turn the pages, the church has got a lot of little problems with tongues and judgment and everything. They got it. It's a carnal. And the Second Corinthians is to try to fix them, to help them. So when you come to the end of chapter 13, 2 Corinthians, see if you're really in Christ. That's what it says. See if you're really in Christ in the first place. Because you said it should be different. Should be different. Chapter 3, you'll pick it up quickly. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as carnal, fleshly, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, food. For hitherto you were not able, not in OT, able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. You still can't do it. I still can't tell you Romans 6, because you aren't even listening. Your mind isn't there. Nope. And verse 2. Neither are you able. Verse 3. For you are yet carnal, fleshly. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? That's the Corinthian church. Ephesians church, an example. Corinthian church is an example. Don't do it this way. Don't do it this way. It's the way this, and take that. If you don't fix the carnal church, you're going to end up with the Laodicean church, Revelation chapter 3, 15, etc. and therefore you need nothing. And if I judge you, I'm outside, said God. You kicked me out the door. You don't need, like Israel, the temple, we didn't need God anymore. We have his temple. The temple has become ours. The church has become our church to do what we do. Now, and therefore, God, you need to fix that. Israel, Corinthians believers need to fix that. Carnality, the church. And the church, generally speaking, isn't what it should be, to say the least. But you have to understand that's humans. And humans are not what we should be. We're not what we should be. So therefore, humans are all over the place. They got the same little mind. And that my old nature is the same as your old nature. And your old nature is the same as my own nature. We all got the same dumb old nature, all doing what we do, doing what it does. And it's the same. Don't tell me it's different. It's the same. They're the same. You're the same size as a person. You have different bodies, but you're the same size, all the same. You're not, there's not some big souls and little souls. No, you're just a person. You live in a body. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, now to exercise that, to see the carnal, the church is carnal, fleshly. And you have to understand that. What we're looking at is, no one's going to say it. No one wants to talk about it. Why? Because we're guilty. I mean, you don't talk about stuff we're guilty of. We don't, not you to disturb us. No. So therefore, we need to be overcomers. We need to be overcomers. And therefore, Revelation, easy. And Revelation chapter 2, a church in Ephesus, example. And first, at Revelation, excuse me, chapter 3, chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, slide down as you come to the end of the church in Ephesus, you're going to, as you know it already, in verse 6. But thou hast that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, and also I hate. He that hath an ear to hear, verse 7, let him hear what the Spirit of God saith, the Spirit saith unto the churches, all of them. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of the knowledge, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And every church, chapter 7, 11, etc., all churches, the Spirit of God, as you said, he's telling you, we have his word, we have Ephesians, we have Corinthians, we have all of everything to understand where we are and to enjoy the realities of where we are in Christ. And in the process, we need to be overcomers. You can't be an overcomer without the Spirit of God. You ain't going to do it. It's not going to happen, not in this life. I don't care who you are, or what you are, or what you know, or what you think you know. And what, by the way, what you know and how much you know is only what you know. It has no reality to it. It's biblical. I'll do it a different way. Psalm, easy, you know. Psalm 23, verse 1. A very favorite. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But if he isn't my shepherd, for real, that's a bunch of words. To what extent do you enjoy, personally, the Lord as your shepherd? That's a test. The shepherd. takes care of the sheep. To what extent do you enjoy that? You can't. It's just words. Without God. Without God in there, you don't have anything. You got to include God. You can't have the life of God without the person of God. You can't have the benefits of God without God himself. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't. It doesn't happen. You could fill yourself this much with, think of their dear rabbis. I think of them because I remember that a little bit. I remember they test, they have a, in testing a rabbi or whatever, and they take the pointed knife and go stick it in the Bible, and stick it in the Bible, and then open to where that point ended. And then they ask the person, what does that say? Tell me what that means in the light of everything. And there are people that they knew, people that memorized Old Testament, make believe. They were unsaved. Memorizing the Bible doesn't make it real. Say, if I just have more Bible. The Bible is no good without God. I can memorize it. The Bible is useless to me without God. It's useless. And I got a few hours in it. Not that you don't either. You have few hours. But I win. Because it's my job. And I've been doing it for one long time. And I got so many thousand hours, 100,000, over 100,000 hours, without even a question. Without even a question. Easily. Easily. I should get a degree pretty soon. And I don't know anything. Do you understand? I'm saying that from my heart. I don't know this book for nothing. And the only reason it's so wonderful is because God, who I know gave the book, God who gave the book, is my God and Savior and yours. And I enjoy, I am to enjoy, as you are to enjoy, his wonderful person and his saving grace. So as I read the Bible, do I understand it? No. But it reminds me of my relationship to God. And I thank him. And enjoy it. Enjoy it. But without God, you can memorize the Bible. Preach the Bible. Preach it till you're blue in the... teach it. It ain't going to go anywhere without God. It's not going to go anywhere. And that's part of the problem. We're Methodist, Presbyterians, Baptist. I got a Baptist Christ, a Methodist Christ, a Unitarian Christ. I get all kinds of Christ. And we preach them based on our system. And there's no authority to it. The only authority is God's word and the Spirit of God that makes it. You leave him out, you don't have any authority. I can say all the dumb, say the things I try to say, even this morning, and they're wonderful truths, awesome truths, but they're no good without you, God. They ain't going to go anywhere. I'm just going to tell you, I can give you an outline, I can tell you 7 points that are good, and yay! It ain't going to go anywhere. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, life, living, pulsating. And that's why it's real. God has to make it. God makes the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's why it's real. Otherwise, it isn't real. You can say, I'm a believer, and I believe this, that. Like we said a moment ago, you can say you believe in the pew, but if you're sitting outside, standing outside, you have no proof that you believe in the pew. You have no proof. Well, I believe. Believe what? Where's the belief take you? And don't want to go over. I get yelled at if I go over. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Got the idea. You want to have the reality. God wants you to have the reality. How can you enjoy being saved without the reality of being saved. How can you enjoy, I'm here today and gone tomorrow, either way, for 2 Corinthians, either way, God, whatever you want. You're resting in God's wonderful person, his awesome presence, and his absolute word. He's given you from Genesis to Revelation. It's his word. So as I look at his word in totality, I'm seeing, letting God in his totality by way of the word of God get to my head and heart. Genesis, Revelation. I'm letting God get to me, the reality. And the Spirit of God, that is his blessed, purposeful. God is the Spirit of God, Romans 15, loves us. That's what it says. The Spirit of God loves us, and he delights in bringing to us heaven, to a heart of dust. And he delights in doing it. He loves doing it right now. Do you understand that? Do you understand he loves doing it? He loves you right now. What does that mean to you? What does that mean? He loves you. He does. He can't love you anymore. He died for you. You can't do anymore. I'm getting sidetracked. Now, you getting the idea? I'm trying to help you understand. I watch it all over. It ain't going anywhere. And the people there going in and out, up and down. They just don't grow. They don't enjoy. Don't enjoy. If I was going to give you your favorite lunch, whatever that is, your favorite lunch, don't you want to, when you put it in your mouth, do you want it just to slide down, past your tongue, forget your tongue, don't get all saliva on it and everything. Get it down, just get one of those feeding tube, like they do, feeding tube, and just squirt it in, goes right down, esophagus, into your stomach, and you digest it. Wasn't that good? Wasn't that good? Wow, I'd like to have that again. No. Don't you want to taste the lovely food in your plate? Don't you see it there? And then you're going to what? You're going to masticate, you're going to eat it and destroy it. The beautiful thing that you're looking at, tomato and everything, is chewed up, the saliva and their acid, and going to become soup. A big soup down there in your stomach. Wow, that's going to be soup. Takes 4 hours to get it out of there. So, and in the process, what it is, it's gone down. What happened to the beautiful meal? You digested it. You ate it. Except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. You what? You have no part of me. I died and became your life. By my death, you have my life. I became your life. I'm your living Savior. And if you don't allow me to live in your life, you aren't going to enjoy life, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. That stumbled, people have stumbled over that over and over again. No, it can't be. You don't understand it. It's a unique, personal relationship. God becomes your life. He is your life. You have a unique relationship to God that lasts forever. I got to quit now. So therefore, in looking at that, so here we were looking at overcoming, and we need to understand overcoming in a wonderful, wonderful way, that God makes us overcomers in a wonderful way. Otherwise, we're just being religious. And I don't think you want to be religious. I think that's I'll say it personally, it's an utter waste of time. If I'm not going to be saved, I'm going to be saved. I'm not playing a game. It isn't a game anymore. No game. It's for real. I want to be saved, and God, you are for real, and I want to enjoy you. I want to exercise your awesome person. I want to thank you. How am I going to enjoy eating, thanking you? And I'm going to take your word, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want worry, fret, fume, fuss. No, I'm going to look to you, God. Help me to get through it inch by inch, to grow and to know and learn of you. That's what I wish. That's what I want. I think you guys do. Most don't. Most people go to church and they don't care 2 cents about what I just said. They don't even ever think about it, and they don't care because they just get what they get and they go home. I'm not looking at that. I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't bother going to church myself. No offense. I don't want to be religious. I don't want to be. I got saved from the dumb religion system. I don't want to be a Methodist. I love John Wesley. No offense. And I do it. I don't have that. But I don't want to be John Wesley. I got to quit. Thank you. We'll pray. Our Father and God, here we are. Please help us in every way. Give us that which we're missing and that which we don't understand, and help us right now, even now, God. And we're going to thank you very, very much for even the next few minutes, if you should tarry and we should live. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.